You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. All right, big story of the day when it comes to COVID vaccines in Chicago is that the mass vaccination site at the United Center has opened up. Mayor Lightfoot has been really working on making sure that more Black Chicagoans are getting access to the vaccines there. A majority of the appointments have gone to white people and many people from the suburbs. So how about that, Blacks and the vaccine? Dr. Rhea Boyd joins us now. She's a pediatrician and child health advocate from the Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Just had a piece in the New York Times, and we'll talk about her website and national initiative as well. But first, hello, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Sure. You know, you wrote something that was contrary to what I think is popular belief, or certainly what was my, you know, every time I saw a story about African-Americans and the vaccine, it was that we were going to have to work to help them overcome their distrust of the medical institutions of the country. But you write that that's not necessarily the case, that it's more about access. Explain that for me.
So if we look at the history and the rates of vaccination across the country, what we see is that Black folks are just as likely to get vaccinations, whether they're children or whether they're adults, if they have equal access to the vaccine. We see that for children in particular, eliminating cost as a barrier to getting vaccines actually eliminated all of the racial health inequities that exist for really commonly, routinely recommended vaccines, things like MMR and polio, and even for vaccines that aren't even required for kids to enroll in school, like the HPV vaccine. We see that making vaccines free means that Black kids are just as likely to get the HPV vaccine as other racial and ethnic groups.
That's the Vaccines for Children program, correct?
Exactly. That's the Vaccine for Children's program that in the 1990s was sponsored by our national government to make vaccines free for kids.
And the idea then is that if they have the ability to become vaccinated, they're not leery anymore reluctant than any other portion of the population to seek those vaccines.
Yeah, exactly. For adults, for example, for adults who already have Medicare, which is a Medicare Part B, is an insurance plan that covers vaccination for adults age 65 and older. Black adults are just as likely to get the flu vaccine every year as white adults if their provider just offers it to them. So it's both that Black folks need barriers to access to vaccines decreased, like cost and health insurance, but also that we know Black folks haven't had equal recommendations that they get preventative services like vaccines. And so providers just simply suggesting it is a really powerful way to ensure that Black folks get vaccines.
So I would imagine then, I don't know how familiar you are with Mayor Lightfoot's proposal here in Chicago, but you would like the idea of limiting this super site vaccination process at the United Center to Chicago residents only. I mean, you know, if you're 65 and live just outside the city, you want to get a vaccine too. But she wants to limit it to, or she is limiting it to the city to help Black and brown populations. You would argue that's a good idea?
Yeah, it's critical that cities and towns across the country, just like Chicago, prioritize the communities that have been disproportionately impacted by the vaccine. And we know those communities are Black folks, they're Latinx folks, and they're Indigenous groups. And so when we open up vaccination sites, we have to make sure that those are the folks who have prioritized access to those sites, because if we don't take special account of their needs, they're also the folks who are going to be left behind.
I'm sure there's someone, though, in a near-in suburb, Oak Park, in Cook County, who says, well, wait, my 82-year-old grandmother's just as at risk or is at risk. Why should she not get access to this max vaccination site?
It's a great question, and it's important that we reframe when we say prioritized access to also include the fact that prioritized access for certain groups doesn't mean that other groups won't have access to the vaccine. It means that we have to place access to the vaccine specifically in areas that we know don't have other equal access to healthcare services. So for folks who live in suburbs outside the city who have access to regular healthcare providers and health departments that can provide them the vaccine, it's important that we allow vaccination sites within the city that particularly serve resource deserts that don't have equal access to healthcare services, that we allow those to serve the communities who live right around them.
So is this idea of the Tuskegee Airmen, you know, experiments and misuse or abuse, I guess, is that a myth that's keeping people away? I mean, that's the sort of popular theory.
You know, a lot of people have raised the history of the Tuskegee syphilis experiments as a reason why Black folks may not get the COVID vaccines. I think there are a couple of pieces of information that tell us that doesn't seem to be the case. One, most Black folks don't actually have to talk about Tuskegee to find an experience in their own lives or the lives of their loved ones where they have been mistreated in the healthcare system. People don't have to search for historical examples like that to know that you can be mistreated or not have equal access to services when you come to get your own care. And the other is that we know that folks, the interest in the COVID vaccines, for example, is actually increasing among Black folks. Now, according to Pew Research study, up to 60% of Black folks, up from like 40% earlier in the year, have said that they're interested in COVID vaccination. So we don't see Black folks continuing to say, no, I'm definitely not getting this vaccine. If anything, we just continue to see some Black folks who are saying, we're waiting to see and learn more about the vaccines. And that's why colleagues and I have put together this information campaign so that people can have their common questions answered.
The name of the campaign, well, the website is betweenusaboutus.org. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so betweenusaboutus.org is a national campaign to share accessible facts about the COVID vaccines with Black communities. The campaign features Black doctors, nurses, and researchers. And we are just having the same conversation together that we know folks are having in their living rooms and kitchens and informally among their own friends and family. And what we're doing is just adding some healthcare providers to that conversation so that as people have these talks, that they can have informed discussions, and that when they make the choice about whether to get the vaccine, they can be making an informed choice.
Is there an information gap between white folks and Black folks in this country? And if so, where does the responsibility for that lie?
There absolutely is an information gap. So Pew Research studies told us a few years ago that most Americans, upwards of 80%, get their health information online. But we know that folks who live in rural areas of the country, and for Black folks that particularly live in the South, which is where the majority of Black folks in the country live, that they don't have equal access to the insurance, to the internet. As much as 1 in 10 residents in the South don't have access to reliable broadband. And so that then starts to create an information gap between folks who might have the internet as a resource to look for health information and folks who don't have the internet as that resource.
Okay, I'll push it to you a little bit though. Then how is it that you're going to reach them with a website?
This is a great question. So our campaign, although it definitely is intended to live online, to be in a place where we also see misinformation targeting Black folks, so we want to have credible information online for people to access instead. We also have live conversations that people can join virtually, so you can have your questions answered by healthcare providers by phone. And then we are also working on an organizing strategy to literally go door to door in parts of the country that are more rural to ensure that somebody can face to face with another person, obviously using all of the precautions to keep us safe in the pandemic, but so that people can have their questions answered without having to have the internet.
Have you seen results? I mean, what are you seeing that people are more likely to get a vaccine, or that they're finding better ways or ways to get to the vaccination sites?
You know, we just launched on Thursday, so we've only been out in the world for the last few days. But just since the last few days, we have seen and heard reports of people and healthcare providers in particular sharing the video with Black folks who were still concerned about the choice. And Black folks saying after seeing the video that they actually feel more informed and that they would choose to get vaccinated, which really makes us feel amazing. We also saw a really incredible response to the videos. Within 24 hours of us posting our first video, we had 100,000 views on my Twitter site alone, not even including the views on our YouTube and our website. So we think people are interested. People do have real questions. They just need us to bring the information right to them.
I want to go back to how the healthcare industry deals with Black Americans. You used the word earlier, mistreat. Is undertreat a better term, or are they indeed mistreated?
You know, there's probably multiple terms that are right.
Sure.
I think mistreated is right. I think underserved or undertreated is right. I think historically experimented upon and abused is also right. I think, you know, Black folks have been exploited within our healthcare system, and they haven't had equal access to the benefit of receiving healthcare resources in our country. And that history lives in people's lives right now. It's not just something that lives in the past. It's also people's present experience of healthcare systems. So we know that people experience healthcare in that way. And so we also want to make sure people understand that there's Black healthcare workers in our systems who are fighting every day to break down those barriers and ensure Black folks have equal access to things like the COVID vaccine and also to information about things like the COVID vaccine.
You're listening to Dr. Rhea Boyd. She's a pediatrician at Palo Alto, also one of the forces behind BetweenUsAboutUs.org. Okay, put on your pediatrician's cap for me now. When it comes to kids and COVID, tell me about the impact on them. I would imagine it's probably more social and emotional than it's been physical.
You know, I never want to dismiss the children who have had rare, severe outcomes from COVID. So I think there are definitely kids who have been severely affected by COVID. But what we've seen overall is that most kids don't tend to have severe complications of COVID, and they haven't been as affected as older adult populations. But to your point, I think how kids have been affected by the pandemic has absolutely been through the disruption of their learning environments and their recreational time. And that has certainly affected their social and emotional well-being.
Looks like we're turning the corner, doctor. What do you think?
Yes, I really think we are. You know, the emergency use authorization of these vaccines was a really important landmark moment in our country where we can say we finally have the most effective preventative tools that we can use to start to end the devastation of this pandemic. And I, as we see more and more Americans get vaccinated, and as we see new guidelines from the CDC that were just released this week, that is reshaping how vaccinated folks can kind of reintegrate their social lives into their lives, I think we are in a moment where we can start to have hope.
Dr. Boyd, thank you very much again. The website, BetweenUsAboutUs.org. I was tooling around on it earlier. Looks great. A lot of engaging information there. So, God, I wish you the best success.
Thank you so much.
You bet. You know, Dr. Boyd's in California. There's a school in California, UC Davis. They're actually paying their students to not go on spring break. We'll go to California a little bit later in the program. Next, we'll hear from Uber drivers who are fearful for their lives. Let's get into the newsroom.